Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord to a Friday fellowship of learners. You have tuned in to Words from the Word. I'm your host, Overseer Paulette. And we are abiding in Christ. We are learning what it means to receive the invitation to abide in Christ. We thank God for you coming and joining with us this Friday. And this is April the 28th. The month is far spent. We appreciate your presence and your participation. And we have put you on live and show. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
We are taking 30 steps in understanding the invitation to abide in Christ. Today we are on step 7. We'll review step 6 as the book indicates, wisdom, from 1 Corinthians 1 and 3. We want to remember that abiding in Christ is a patient anticipation. Patient, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we get as we abide in Christ. Patient expectation. It is neither wasteful idleness nor anxious striving. As God kept and empowered Christ, he will do the same for us as we abide in Christ. In Psalms 62 and 5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon the Lord, for my expectations is from him." What a visual, what a visual. Christ means for us to draw supernatural strength from the presence, his presence, as we walk moment by moment, being led by his Spirit, because we are abiding in him. So we do want to look at a little review of where we've gone so far. I think this chapter takes a turn into another area, because the first set of days and of the first steps that we've reviewed and we've looked at has indicated the nature of this union. The physical nature we looked at first, the physical process of a branch being disconnected from its original source and engrafted into a different source so that it would become a part of the new source, and how physically that transformation happens. There's a cutting, there's a severing of the branch from its previously supply, and it is then engrafted, or it is placed into the vine, and there becomes a then sharing from the vine to the branch. The sap, the life, from the new source goes into the branch, and that then becomes a part of the nature of the vine itself. So the branch no longer starts to resemble or continues to resemble its previous source, but it will now start resembling its current resource. And the proof of that, the evidence of that, is that that branch will then start to look like the vine, in other words, creating fruit upon its branches, like the fruit of the branches of the vine. And so, like the vine. And so we see that as a physical element of and nature of this abiding in. And then the author continues And this is the author, Andrew Murray. His book is Abide in Christ. And then he continues to further build this imagery for us of the vine and the branch. He reviews it as it becomes a spiritual parallel with what our life looks like as we are brought from one source, which is the source of death and darkness, and then placed into the new life and life of Christ. And so we want to start with our foundational scripture, and we like reading it in the various versions because it gives us such beautiful imagery and illustration. It kind of evokes as we read it. And so as we read through it, can someone get it? It's John 15, 1 through 12. We like either the Amplified or the Message, one that gives us a different kind of wording. We have the original in our book. I believe it's probably the New King James Version. And so we want to look at it, and then we want to look at the areas that we've already covered that are revealed in our scripture. So does someone have our scripture today? John 15, 1 through 12.
John 15, 1 through 12. I have the New King James.
Okay.
It reads thus, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's 1 through 8. How far do
12.
You want me to be? 12.
12.
As the Father loved me, verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder, for reading that for us. And as we review our pivotal scripture, we see in the first really sentence or so the establishment of the order of things, which is what was brought out in chapter 6. And so just as a quick review of chapter 6, it talks about the Father having established this union. He's the one who has established it and who has provided it and who will, as the husbandman, and that is the dresser of the garden, the gardener, the great gardener. And so we see a new name of God that we need to experience. And to experience it, we need to have the knowledge of it. One of the things we asked last week was what was some of the blessings of salvation. I said 33 blessings of salvation from a report that we've seen and we use often in this ministry. And yet it is not just confined to that. There are blessings that have come in your life as the Lord has redeemed you and is leading you and teaching you, that becomes part of that knowledge you have of who he intends to be in your life, and that is the blessing. And so we see him here as the husbandman. He is the one who, and I love it, the way chapter 6 ends with the fact that from eternity, I, Christ and I, were ordained for each other. Inseparably, we belong to each other because it is God's will. It is God who has established it, and that's what is being brought out in our John 15, 1 through 12 scripture, that he is the one. It is the Father. Christ is divine, but the Father is the one who owns the vineyard. The Father is the one who has established that there be a vine prepared to receive branches. And so that is where we come in, as those branches, Christ as the vine and the Father as the gardener, the husbandman. And so we see here the order, the necessity, and well, here we see the nature of this union that we have with Christ. We further, through scripture and through the steps, we came to see that this, and Christ says it in this 15th, that he loves us and that he has bidded us to come to him. It's a love relationship. We looked at it as a marriage proposal. Come unto me and abide in me. The vine, the characteristic of that name of God, what it supplies, what it does. And so the steps we have been reviewing so far has indicated what that nature looks like of Christ and the power that he has and what his power will produce and how he will even communicate that power to us. We saw that in, I think it was step 4, as the branch in the vine, what it looks like. It was God ordained. I think on the first page of that, it says the branch, whether original, that would be the Jews, or engrafted ones, that would be us, is such only by the Creator's own work. That's God the Father, who has ordained this to be, in virtue of which, in virtue, the nature of the elements involved in this relationship. What is the nature of the relationship? It says that in virtue of which the life, the sap, the fatness, and the fruitfulness of the vine communicate themselves to the branch. So these things that the vine has, these virtues, the sap, we looked up those words and the meaning of those words, and the sap and the life and the fatness and the fruitfulness. And we saw that the sap was the fluid, the liquid. We think of it as the blood. You know, we're now covered with the blood, and that blood comes with a cleansing and with a life it gives to the branch, and that has to flow into the branch from the vine. And then the sap is spiritual good things. The spiritual good things come to us from the branch. And those are some of the things we're going to look at this week. And then the fruitfulness is what will manifest itself as it will become a living and a visual evidence, tangible evidence of the process being successful. And that energy, that sap is that energy, the health of the vine is communicated to us. And so that's the nature of the union. We looked at all of the, some of the elements involved in the nature of the union. And you can, you know, this is dialogue, and I don't know, from the first five steps that we've already reviewed, what stood out to you as it related to the nature of this union. This union that is established, you know, as the vine communicates to us, and as we accept the invitation, accept the proposal. He proposes to do something for us. The marriage proposal, he brings it to a place of putting all of the responsibility upon him. And we looked at that in the, excuse me, in the chapter that related to taking his yoke upon us and learning of him. Not sure where that chapter is. But we learned quite a bit in that chapter of the yoke, because it gave, again, the nature of the union was to depend on the vine. The branch was dependent on the vine, as the oxen, when they're yoked together, they yoke a younger one with the older one, and that older one bears the weight of it, and the younger one is walking with the older one as he's learning how to walk and how to fulfill the task and the requirements upon his life. He is connected with one that has done it already, and then as he walks with him, he learns of him. And that, again, is the nature of the union, us learning from and receiving from the vine as we are branches being built up in our most holy faith. Any insights and input from any of our learners on the line?
Overseer.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, I like that portion with, yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I like the portion where it says that we, and that you just brought it up, that we must learn to understand. But on page 60, it was saying understand better, you know. And when I was reading that, brought to the attention, you might understand some part, but when you, that wisdom is understanding better. Because mm-hmm. every time when you read his word or go over it, and especially with the abiding Christ book, you get more knowledge. You get more understanding of his word. And you can read, what I'm learning is you can read a scripture so many times, but sometimes when you read it, it seems like it pops out. I don't know if that's the word, better word, yes or no, but it pops. You get better understanding of what that scripture really is saying. And as you continue seeking him or drawing near to him, and you get a better understanding, you get more wisdom in it, and it seems like what you thought you knew, you have to just leave that alone and start all over again, you know? And like I said, this book has been powerful. It's a devotional, but it's so much more than just a devotion. And one part that stood out for me was following him, you will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And it is only when God shines into the heart and Christ Jesus dwell there, that's the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ can be seen. And that was from, it was on 61 page in the middle where it says 2 Corinthians 4, 6. But that in that part said so much that we have to follow him. We can't walk in our sins. We have to have a light, a life, but we can, when God shines in our heart, he dwells there. But when we get away from him, we feel like, oh, Lord, let me drive the bus. Jesus, let me drive the bus. You just sit here. Not allow him to be the driver. And we get in the way, then that's when our havoc happens. Things don't go well because we try to do it in our own power and our own strength. But God, in this wisdom, it has taught me years ago, but now I really understand that you can't do it on your own. You can't even think you got enough wisdom to make it happen or understanding. You need others, you know, and that's wisdom in itself. But as long as you abide in him and allow the Holy Spirit to do what it does in leading God and in directing the truth, things come more clearly. So the wisdom is brought out. That's bottom line what I wanted to say in regards to that.
Okay. Hey, amen. She wanted to jump right on into our step seven. And that's where we're leading to. Yes. They went black. Okay. And that's where we're leading to because the first six steps teaches us the necessity of the union. And so some of the things that Minister Pat brought out was the fact that this necessity of the union indicates the fact that we can't do it by ourselves, that we aren't, you know, even if we have a little wisdom, and we'll look at that in step seven, but we have to first have an understanding of the nature of our union in order to understand the things that come out of the union. That's a part of what we are to learn as we walk humbly with Christ and as we learn of him. And so when we say learn of him, what have we learned of him? There are some things that we learned that were salvational, and we got that. But as relationally, what have we learned about walking with Christ? Remember, we're yoked with him. He is meek and he is lowly. He is humble. What have we gleaned from this union with the vine? And have we truly taken on the nature of the vine? I love the, as she made reference to, the step seven, where it says, we often pray for wisdom, and yet it says, that wisdom is hidden in Christ. And the only way you get it is make sure your prayers are that you go deeper and in a deeper union with Christ. In other words, are you honoring the connection you have to the vine? And the way we honor that connection, and we see that even in John 1, our scripture, 15, we see it that he says, you honor it by obeying. And so obeying becomes the key. That is one of the things that the chapter also brings out, step seven. But I did want to make sure we understood the necessity of the union, not the nature of the union. Because when we understand the nature of the union, then we are coming into a revelation of what it is we're supposed to be thinking, what it is we're supposed to be feeling, because we're receiving. receiving this communication from the vine by way of Holy Spirit, who teaches us and corrects us and gives us the knowledge that we need in order to obey the communication from the vine. So what is the communication that the vine is trying to give to us? And I believe that part of that communication, it, well, all of it, is the Word of God, and it is the Word of God that shares with you your blessing of being saved. And so it's those things that we have to know in order to obey or to emulate or to embrace, we have to know what they are. So when the question is asked, you know, what are blessings of being saved? Suppose someone asks you, what are the blessings of being saved? You know, will you give them your experience or will you give them the Word of God? Because in John 15, he says you are cleansed by the Word, not your experience, but by the Word. And so what does the Word, how has the Word lived out in you, caused you to experience the nature of the union? And that's what we want to question ourselves about. That's what we want to look at. How have we been obedient to the communication from the vine to the branch via Holy Spirit? Have we obeyed? And obeyed what? Obeyed the Word of God. And the Word of God, in what word? Which word? Okay, and those are the things that we have to look at. Because if we look at those words that are salvational, then he is saying it's time to grow. It is time to be pruned. It's time for us to bear more fruit, because now it should be revelational. So what am I saying? There are certain scriptures, you know, God so loved the world, he gave it. We got that. We embrace it, that we might, you know, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. We have that. We got it, and we took that. We stood on it, and it transformed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now we're standing in the kingdom of light, and that light is shining on more words, or revealing more words that are spoken by God to us through his Holy Scripture. So what words have been spoken that caused you to stand and to receive from the vine? One of the things that comes to mind, some of the scriptures for me would be, you know, and God will make all grace abound, that you will have all sufficiency in all things unto every good work. That was a foundational scripture for me. That was a blessing of salvation and obedience. When he says that he'll make all things work to the good for them that love God, all things, and that word all, understanding what it looks like and what it means, then I have to go look back at Christ, and I have to see everything that I have learned that Christ did, and see that God made all those things work to the good. Therefore, I should rejoice and be exceedingly glad in all things, giving prayer and thanksgiving. And so we say those things, but as we experience life's challenges, you know, are they the foremost thing in our minds, causing us to understand the necessity now of this union? Because it can't happen just because of the nature of the union, the fact that those are things that are possible. But now these are the things that are necessary. Those things are being in him, getting from him what he did. What would Jesus do? That was the great move. What would Jesus do? And the only way to know what he would do is to know what his word said and show about his life and about his teaching. And so is it truly blessed? Are they who are persecuted for righteousness? You know, do we believe that? Is that a part of our, do we feel blessed? Because if you don't feel blessed, then you're not being obedient. Because that means you're striving in your flesh with something that is not like, it's from the old source. It was from our old connection. And we have to make sure that that is severed in our thinking and in our mind, though the physically is separate, but now the necessity is the fact that in order for what has come from the branch, the vine, to enhance us physically and spiritually and mentally, then we have to have cut all the connections from the past source. And that's done through learning of him and knowing what the word says about him. There are scriptures that, you know, greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. Do we live like that is true for us? Do we image what Christ, how Christ processed his challenges? Even though he told someone at one point, you know, I could call legion would come for me, okay? But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So have we obeyed that, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? Have we went to a garden, our garden, and truly beseeched the Lord and then surrendered our dreams, our perspectives, our hopes, our thoughts, our emotions? Have we really surrendered them to God, just given it to him? Here it is. Do with it what you will. Do with my love for my children. I give it to you. I don't give it to them. I give it to you. Because now you are the master of the altar of my heart. You're there. You do what you want to do with what you have given me. You've given it back to him. You made it become a part of your, if you will, offering sacrifice, acceptable sacrifice, into giving everything that you have thought valued and giving it to him, so that his nature can use it for the glory of his Father, because that's what he is indicating in this scripture. All things are done. Everything he did was to glorify his Father, not to satisfy his life on earth, not to enhance his life on earth, not to enhance his relationship with people on earth. It was all done to glorify the Father. And the only way he knew to do that was to be true to the nature of the Father. And so we have to, what nature of God are we even aware of? There are some, he's a Savior, he's a Lamb, you know, he's a healer, he's a deliverer, but he is so much more. And so have we been glorifying that aspect or that characteristic of God in such a way it has borne fruit on our branch so that others can see this is the living God. This is how he looks. This is how he acts. This is part of his character, this long-suffering. Or have we been irritated and impatient? But this is part of him. This is the patient God. This is the loving God, the faithful God. I mean, we can be faithful to him, but we are not necessarily faithful to his people or his power. You know, or are we faithful more to our preferences? You know, and so there are so many aspects that the communication from the vine will illuminate that's a part of the branch that the branch will see, and he has, the branch or we have to embrace what comes from Christ and release what has come from our other source. And so when we get to day 7, it says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 3, and we'll be in this scripture for about 4 lessons, it says, of God are ye in Christ. And we've looked at that in day 6. You know, this was something that was initiated by God himself. Even Christ acknowledged that the Father had given to him those that he had in his hand, and none were lost except for the son of perdition. It says, but of God are ye in Jesus Christ. So it's not your idea, it's not your works, it's not your hopes or dreams or thoughts. The only way you are in Christ is because God has ordained it. God has ordained from eternity for us to be inseparable. I will forever remember that. And it says, who has made unto us? So now who? Who did this making? But God did it. Who has made unto us wisdom from God? And so that, and it stops right there, because the other righteousness, sanctification, and redemption will be in some of the preceding steps. But just that portion of it there, who was made unto us wisdom from God. So I love the way it starts. It says Jesus Christ is not only priest to purchase and king to secure, but also prophet to reveal to us the salvation that God has prepared for those who love him. I love that. That the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I will understand the hope of my calling. What is the hope of my calling? It is not that I, have a life that's free from trouble and worry and a perfected life in the world standard, but to understand, it says, reveal to us the salvation that God has prepared. So there is something that God has prepared for us. He says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. So these are all words. These are all elements that we are to be a part, that are a part of our salvation and are to be a part of our knowledge of him. So we understand what he is doing. And he says, just as at creation the light was first called into existence, the light had to be called into existence so that the other things that God was going to create would have a form for life and a beauty, so that in this aspect of our relationship with Christ, Christ becomes that light, and in our text, it is wisdom is the first, is that light. Wisdom is mentioned first, and it's the treasure, or if you will, it's the treasure box in which the three precious gifts that follow are to be found. So in other words, this wisdom that's in Christ is a hidden treasure in Christ. So the only way to find it out is to be in Christ. And so then we'll come to this box, that this treasure that is wisdom. And this treasure has been put in Christ. And so as the author goes on, he's sharing the fact that the only way to have this knowledge is to learn about where the box is, and that's in Christ. And so we have to have that knowledge of Christ. And so, I ask, what knowledge do you have of Christ today? That's just the open question, open for the line. What knowledge do you have of Christ that gives salvation from your old way of thinking?
Wow.
That's open.
Wow, when you were speaking of that, and I think prior to you going to 7 in the scripture, I thought about when you was going through some scriptures, I thought about the scripture of 1 John 5:11-12, and that one speaks on the assurance of salvation, and it says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has a son has life, and he who does not have a son of God does not have life. So for me, that scripture and what I can sense of what the question you just asked is that I believe that true, and that word of God, and no matter what happens, I know I have eternal life through him. And I can overcome anything. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Because I was going to say, you have, no matter what happens, you have an eternal life. And that is an aspect, absolutely. But do you know that eternal life starts now? Eternal life starts now.
Right.
Eternal life starts now.
Right. In earth, just before. Okay.
I was just going to finish and say it's not just in heaven, it's on earth as well as in heaven.
And so what does eternal life look like on earth?
To me, it looks like being obedient, doing his will, following not cat's will, but God's will, leading others to Christ, being a witness for him, and not always having to biblically go there, but just listening to others and hear what they say, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to, do you even say anything, or you just be a prayer for that person until they come to the knowledge of him, a relationship with him for themselves. So in that, that's my, because I had that a test, I think, recently where I was in a Chinese restaurant getting something, and a lady had been listening to two other ladies and myself talking, and the first thing she asked, what church you all go to? Because y'all just talking about God and like it's just a joy. And she said she was saved, but she said she didn't have a church home, and we changed information, but it was, and we went over what the steps of salvation was, because I realized even though people can say they say, do they really know what that means? And so we talked about that, and we all had a good time, and then we left, but it was being a witness for him. So that's what it looked like to me.
Okay. Anybody else? Finally on the line. Okay. All right.
All right.
And I.
Good morning,
Overseer. Good morning.
You know, when as the conversation has been going on, and Minister Pat was just speaking, it made me think about the whole idea, not just looking back toward looking back at the fruits of the Spirit, but I think I look at that as such a foundation. Even to this book, the whole abiding, because, you know, we kind of understand, to me, that whole just agricultural picture. And so I think of, when you said what scripture, I think of in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, where it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And to me, it's easy for me to connect to that when I think of that scripture relative to that Galatians 5, because we kind of see, at least for me, I can see those behaviors so clearly when I am out of the will of God, you know, when that love, joy, and peace is not flowing the way it should, which is a direct indication that my fellowship with him is off, because those things, you know, we can only get through him. And just like the with the other six, you know, whatever's going on with, you know, with my interactions between my brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, you know, and just those in general, when we think about that long-suffering or patience, because every day, you know, multiple times a day, it seems like there's an opportunity where you either need to exercise patience or, you know, or we fall short. But, you know, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, and then, you know, what's going on with me in relationship to myself, when we look at those last three, you know, for faithfulness, I guess some of it say meekness or humility, and then just the self-control, you know, and that self-control usually is guiding what's happening in that patience, kindness, goodness, you know, how far or not, you know, am I away from sinner, you know, away from that whole abiding. So when we come to this seventh chapter, or seventh day, knowing him as our witness, as I read this, where it just continues to reinforce the fact of everything that I need, every bit of information, every bit of guidance, every bit of reading is all in him. He has already done the work. And if I would just, I think in one place it talks about the implicit confidence and obedience, which is just trust and obey, you know, getting back to trust and obey, that everything that we, you know, everything that we would need would be in that, you know, and somebody, I don't know if it was Minister Pat or not, but talking about that plan B or in the box, you know, when we seem like we don't have what we need or don't know what to do, then to me it's always a comfort to know when I don't know what to do, it's not because he hasn't revealed or it's not there in his word or he hasn't put somebody in my life or put something in my spirit. It means that I am veering off because he has promised, and, you know, it indicates that he who has promised is faithful, so that, you know, all the treasures are already mine, that I'm already seated in heavenly places. So, you know, no matter what's coming against us, that when we understand that we're new creatures and, you know, we can have the mind of Christ, that I don't have to be searching and wavering on every, you know, every wind of doctrine, that I can go and see what the word says, and because he is faithful and he is the word, and I'm already cleansed, then I can walk into that assurance that manifestation is going to show up, or either he's going to give me the clarity and wisdom so that my desires are lining up with his word for me. I know that's rambling, but this was an awesome day on this one for me, and just, you know, and just reading it. And one last thing, and when I looked at that scripture, the lead scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:30, you know, saying of God that we are in Christ Jesus, who made unto us wisdom from God, and I looked at that in the messaging and the Amplified, and that wisdom was saying right thinking, in the message they translate that as right thinking, in the Amplified they translate that as revealed unto us a knowledge of the divine plan of salvation. So, you know, when you go back to, when I understand why you keep focusing in on, like, what do we have? What treasures? You know, we have all spiritual gifts. What do we glean out of the, I guess, salvific experience that when we correctly, then our behaviors will line up. But if we never understand what God has made, what God has called us to, what he has given us and equipped us with to be able to navigate in this world and actually be obedient, then we can never get to the righteousness and sanctification because we won't be living right because we're not thinking right. You know, so, you know, obviously the sanctification part is going to be lagging behind because there's not going to be any holiness and pureness. Because unless we're doing it God's way, you know, everything else is a counterfeit. Okay, I'm going to shut up. But thank you.
I love the perspective and the insight, you know, that each person brings into our learning environment because it gives us, we keep seeing the same pattern. And so we realize, you know, that this is what the divine is really communicating to us, and it is he's such a patient teacher, over and over and all many so many different kinds of ways he presents the same message to us in the same pattern, and so it is a part of that learning. It's a part of that knowledge. The fact that Christ is the light. And in the light, when it's light, you find the treasure that you're looking for. One of the things that I think that I received out of it is, like, we want so often the perks, but not the person. So we're praying, God, I need wisdom. He said, if you need wisdom, that means you need more of me. Get in me, and the wisdom is there. And that's what the scripture here is saying. So how often do you long for wisdom and spiritual understanding? So that you might know God better, who to know is eternal life. Ooh, to know.
abide in him, your life in him will lead you to that fellowship with God in which the only true knowledge of God is to be had. His power, his love, his infinite glory will, as you abide in Christ, be revealed at it as it has never entered into the heart of man to conceive. Because earlier it says you can have these things. It says in him, it says he has made God wisdom. It says though God and through God you are in him and have only to abide in him to be made a partaker of these treasures. In him you are, and in him the wisdom is. Dwelling in him, you dwell in the very fountain of life. You cannot have these things. It is a connection between what Christ has been made to us by God and how we have it only by also being in him. We have to learn it. We cannot obtain the special gift through prayer, unless that prayer is prayed to be closer to him, because it's in him that we find it. And so I see, as the elder and minister pointing out, those things that only God will give, can give, has given, and he's given them through Christ. So it's like, again, God has a pattern. He points to Christ. Christ is the light that the Father has spoken when he said, let there be light, so that you can see the treasures, those things that God has created for us that we forfeited, but now we have them back if we abide in the vine, because it's in Christ, and he is where our treasures lie. That's why they're in heavenly places, because that's where he is. And so we have to see ourselves that this knowledge is hidden in him. And so it's I love the illustration. I believe a pastor did at one point where she had probably Prophet Mike go under a table with the tablecloth down on each side of it. And as long as he was under the table or inside the confines of the table, everything was fine. But anything that stuck out, came outside of that abiding, was subject to the world. It was subject to the challenges that were around him. And so we do have to make sure that our abiding is in him, so that his light will shine and then our eyes can see. And I believe that's part of what is on like page 65, because he says here, it starts really at 64. I just want to read it. Therefore, believers, abide in Christ as your wisdom and expect from him most confidently whatever teaching you need for life and for that life to glorify the Father, which is the important part. We often want life so that we become satisfied with living here on earth. But he's saying this life is so that what you do and what happens to you brings glory to God. So it may seem what Christ did on the cross didn't seem very desirable, but it brought glory to God. And so he is telling us that that's what we must do. The life that you have in Christ is a thing of intimate. It's too high and too holy for you to know how to act it out. So often we get the information, we read the scripture, and we try to act it out. We do. We try to live what it says. You can't. You cannot act it out. It has to flow to you from him, not just from the words that you read and you try to emulate and as you have definition of them, but it has to come through his blood, his life, and his light as you abide and are obedient in him. It said it is he alone who can guide you as by a secret spiritual instinct. So in other words, it's that flowing that will tell you what to do, teach you what to think, cause you to always be in harmony with heaven, because we have Holy Spirit, who is our secret spiritual instinct. But that is the force, and that is the God within us that will cause us to flow according to what the Word of God said, and to know when we're not being obedient to it. It's like what will help and what will hinder your inner life, especially your abiding in Him. He will tell you, don't think of it as a mystery or difficulty you have to solve. Whatever question comes up as to the possibility of abiding perfectly and uninterruptedly in Him and of really obtaining all the blessings that come from it, remember, He knows it. All is perfectly clear to Him, and He is our wisdom. Just as much as you need to know and are capable of comprehending, that's what He will communicate to you. And I love that He even told the disciples, there is so much more I long to tell you, but He knew that they didn't have the capacity to understand it. And that's what Minister Pat was sharing, how, you know, years ago you read this and it, that you got what it had then, but now you read and there's so much more. It's because He has prepared us through, and we have received and embraced the ministry of Holy Spirit to a point where now our soil can bear more than just the seed. And so it's manifesting itself, and we read it, and it becomes perfectly clear. It's like, wow. Okay. Yes.
I just wanted to just interject. When you said that, what resonated in my spirit was, you know, I'm looking at that same sentence in the document, but that for people that might be on the line listening, and that when we find ourselves in a place and we look at someone and it seems as though they just seem to have all of the tenets, they understand all of the illumination and nuggets of what the Word says, and it almost seems overwhelming, like how will I ever learn all of this, all of these different layers, all of these different strains or whatever, when it says that just as much as you need to know and are capable of apprehending, there is no need for us to compare ourselves and where we are in our spiritual walk and our spiritual journey, as long as we are making forward progress, you know, as long as we are trusting God in the place where we are, you know, that He will give us everything that we need. We don't all need the same thing. You know, that we're just different places. You know, when you think of the vine, different levels of development, different degrees of formation, you know, those kinds of things. But I think that a lot of times we can become frustrated and disappointed when it seems that other people can spout off things, can rattle off the addresses of scriptures or pray with a power, and then it seems like, you know, maybe what we're doing is lacking in comparison. But understanding that we are all connected to the same Christ, to that same vine, who gives us liberally. You know, the scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, you know, ask and He gives it to us unbraided. You know, so anyway, when you said that, it just kind of went up in my spirit.
Amen. Yeah. And I think that, again, this is us. Sometimes when we have those moments, we've come out from under the table, and we're trying to act it out, and we don't have to. And what we have to keep seeing is to look even deeper into Jesus, and to go further into Him, praying, you know, for Him to engulf us. You know, and that's what that vine does. It, like, takes it over. He takes the whole maintenance of that branch over. He's like, I've got this. You're going to be like me. I'm going to do it. You don't have to look around. Look in. Look, just keep, you know, sucking up everything that I'm putting in you through Holy Spirit. And so when we take our eyes, just like Peter, when we kind of take our eyes off of Christ and we start thinking, and that's just flesh trying to view the spiritual with physical eyes. And so here he even says, later down, he says, never think of the riches of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ as treasures without a key, or of your path, of your way as a path without a light. Jesus is your wisdom. He is guiding you in the right way, even when you don't see it. So this is, I walk by faith, not by sight. I don't see it. I don't need to see it. You know, maybe I see it in somebody else. I don't see it in me. It's okay because I'm trusting him because I trust the vine. I trust the divine connection that we have, that Jesus and I were ordained, wow, from eternity to be together, and it's okay. So that's my focus. I don't have to look around and see how many people, you know, have I brought to Christ or, you know, we don't have to take notes. And one of my mother used to say, I used to tell my kids, you know, y'all keeping score. You better throw that scorecard away, okay? Because if you get the score you're looking for, you will perish. Because it is not what you want or what you see. It's what you're capable of comprehending and digesting according to your purpose and the destiny on your life. So you don't want necessarily what someone else has if that's not the destiny that God has for you. And so we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And it's the enemy that is causing us to be insecure about our position. Or in any time we feel that, that is not, what do they call it? I'm going to say not divine jealousy. You know, the kind of look that causes you to want more. We should want more because it's Jesus, not because it looks good on someone else, or not because they seem like their standard is set by Christ. And that's who has to be our focus. And that's what that whole nature of this relationship is. And the more he illustrates it and teaches us about the nature of it, then we understand the necessity of it. Because we cannot process any of the treasures unless we have understood the nature of the relationship. Because then we'll try to counterfeit it or come up with it on our own or struggle trying to get it, becoming frustrated and becoming weary. And he's saying, don't. You don't have to. I got this. I'm going to be the one. It is me. It is all, you see, in all your dealings, with the blessed word, remember the same truth. Abide in Jesus, your wisdom. Just remember, it's in him. Abide in him. Everything that we need is in him. Everything that we need. It says, in all your daily life, its ways and its works, abide in Jesus. Your body and your daily life share is in Jesus. Everything is in Christ. It's in Christ. It's in Christ. And I used to have a problem with that. I didn't really understand that. But just the illustration of the vine and the branch gives that one word, I-N, it gives it a whole new illustrative picture for my spirit. That I-N, that's what it is. That's where that branch meets the vine. And the husbandman did it. So he took us from where we were. He put us in his son. And then he is the one that maintains this glorious relationship. And Holy Spirit is a part of it who flows to us from heaven every moment and giving us access to all the things that we can comprehend, we are capable of comprehending, and that we need for today. So he's not going to give us something we need for tomorrow until tomorrow comes. But he gives us grace, that divine enablement for where we are when we're there. And so he's preparing us for what's ahead. But he prepares us by making our needs met for today, giving us that soil preparation for the seed that he sends our way through the word that we study. And so that in due season, I love that, in due season, if you look around 2 weeks ago, there were no leaves on the tree. But in due season, in just the right moment, it almost seems like we went to sleep and I woke up and the tree in front of the house is pink with these buds. They weren't there the day before, but in due season, just when the sap is right, when the life flowing from the trunk and the roots come up, and then the temperature around is perfect, and the energy from the sun hits those branches, and then that stuff just pops up. It's like, wow. And it's beautiful. And it's sometimes I wonder, can we sit, can we watch it happen? You know, I think it happens in life, but I don't. But that's how it is even in our walk. Because then you'll look around, and all of a sudden, you'll look around within yourself, not in your environment, but inside of yourself, and you'll see that something that was there, it's gone. You know, some friction, some conflict, some challenge that you were struggling through, all of a sudden, it's gone. It's not there. Because that flow from the vine has overcome, caused us to be overcomers. That blood has covered it. The word has cleansed it. And we'll find the righteous sanctification and redemption. Questions, comments, insights? I don't know what my phone is doing. Okay. Oh, shoot. Insight? All right. So then we will go to step eight for next week. If there are no more comments, sharing, I encourage you to enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am grateful for the fellowship that we have, and remembering to abide in Christ, and that it is a patient expectation. But it's also a journey that we should have joy in, not trying to get somewhere, but enjoying the getting. That's part of the abundant love.
Overseer, you still there?
Hello?
I don't know if we lost the connection or if she became disconnected.
I think she became disconnected.
Okay.
I'm going to send her a text message.
Well, I will say that reading that chapter, 1 Corinthians 1, that entire chapter was also beneficial to me as a backdrop for, for reading this section, of the book. And so that might be something that might be helpful to somebody else on the line. Not only that John 15, which is our basis, but that 1 Corinthians 1, which is the anchor scripture for this whole section here, talking about the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Amen.
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, my
phone.
Okay. My phone is really weird. I don't know what my phone did. Okay. But continue. Let's enjoy.
No, I was just saying that it was informative for me to read 1 Corinthians 1 to get the context of that verse, with what was going on in Corinth and about him not being unified in light of the last week's message, being unified. And so it was just a good resource, relative to this bank of lessons that we're going into. That's all.
Amen. I've been reading this, and even in doing some of the other life work that's assigned to us, we talked about the first church in the book of Acts,
And we looked at the great power it had and its start and just the awesomeness of its inception. And yet in continuing to study and read, we see that they were no different from us, and they had issues and they had problems and they had methods of, in leadership that needed solving, and all of these things, again, are put before us by God so that we will understand we're okay because we're in him. This is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. And he knew that it would happen, and he made arrangements for it, and he has a plan and he for it, and he understands man's frailties. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our shortcomings, and he continuously lets us know he loves us and he has provided for us, and he's taken into consideration all these things. And it's not just us. It was them then and them to come, and them that were in between had seasons and times where correction has to come, where revelation has to come, where learning has to come, rebuke has to come, and it just needs to be received in love and embraced and then glorifying God in its resolution, because that's what the world needs to see. There is resolution to all of the issues that we have, and they end us up in an awesome place, and that's just because God loves us, and he has committed himself to us, and because of that, it will be well with us. We want to enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the saints as well, and enjoy our worship as we go forth day by day, moment by moment. So, insight,
amen.
Inspiration from anybody? Amen. Amen. Those who are going to be traveling, we pray for God's mercies upon you. Enjoy that wonderful ministry opportunity that's coming. We'd like to invite others to laborers for this Sunday worship with Kingdom Church. And we have so much going on.
Amen.
And it's an exciting time of learning. There's the Stephen ministry that's coming up. We praise God for the Detroit conference is coming up. And then, to the praise and glory of God, the trip to Patmos, Pentecost, with the overseas delegate going to view the Bible land, everything. So we are praying for their preparation in all its many areas, with all its many challenges. We know that God has made straight the path for you. And so we just rejoice and are exceedingly glad and can't wait to hear the report from everywhere about everything. So enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy.
God bless.
Yes.
Amen.
Have a great day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.